I'm Illinois Issues editor Jamie Dunn. This week, Illinois Issues takes a look at how battles over some social issues are playing out in the courts. One of those cases is over an amendment to the state's healthcare right of conscience law, set to take effect in January. Under the change, medical providers would have to give patients information on procedures they won't perform because of religious or moral objections, including abortion. Reporter Maureen McKinney talked with advocates on both sides of the issue. First, we'll hear from the law's sponsor, Senator Daniel Biss, an Evanston Democrat.
The amendment assures that patients have access to information. The way the law was structured before we passed this bill was that providers who had a ethical or religious objection to a procedure, maybe abortion, maybe contraception, maybe something else, didn't have to provide that procedure. The law still says that. I think the law should say that. But what the law didn't say was that the patient had any rights to information or to access care somewhere else. What the law now says is that the patient has the right to full medical information about all the legal options, has the right to know the medical benefits and drawbacks of each option, and if the provider doesn't want to perform that procedure or participate in that form of healthcare, they have to either refer the patient or at least tell the patient where they might likely find that service provided. And so the idea is to say, hey, the provider has really important First Amendment rights. The provider should not be compelled to provide a service that they don't believe in. At the same time, the patient has basic rights of information that he or she needs in order to make their own healthcare decisions, and that's what this new change in the law protects.
Can you tell me a little bit about what went into the negotiations?
The first version of the bill was written in a way that some people felt essentially obligated the provider to do more than just give information. That wasn't our intent, and so we had a pretty meticulous negotiation, at the end of which the bill still accomplished what we wanted it to accomplish, but gave the Catholic Conference comfort that it wasn't obligating the healthcare provider to do something that was in opposition to their conscience.
It sounded like in testimony that you had some really terrible stories of the kinds of things people went through when they weren't informed about their options.
Maureen, it was really gut-wrenching. There was a woman by the name of Mindy Swank who had a pregnancy, by the way, a wanted, prayed-for pregnancy, and tragically, complications arose, and eventually she began to miscarry. And though the pregnancy was no longer viable by any estimation, the Catholic hospital that she was a patient at was unwilling at that point to either terminate the pregnancy or refer her to a hospital that would, and they just said, go home and bleed. And Ms. Swank went home in tremendous emotional agony, but also tremendous physical pain and tremendous physical risk to her own future health, and by the way, her own future ability to bear children, all because the hospital not only wasn't willing to perform a procedure after the pregnancy was no longer viable, but also wasn't willing to tell her what the options were or tell her where she could go to have a service provided. Nobody should be put through that. Nobody. There's no reason for it.
It is interesting that after that compromise was made that a suit has been filed.
Well, you know, it was really interesting. We came to the Judiciary Committee in the Senate back in 2015, and I explained why I thought the bill was a good idea, and the Catholic Conference explained why they thought the bill was problematic, and then Mindy told her story, and afterwards I said, look, I hear what you guys are saying, but what happened to Mindy happened and should not be legal. And they said, you know what, we agree. And so we negotiated and came to a compromise, came back to the Judiciary Committee, I think less than a month later. And at that point, the Catholic Conference was neutral and said so, but other opponents had emerged who didn't like our new compromise either. Those opponents fought the bill tooth and nail. It barely passed, and now they've filed suit.
That was reporter Maureen McKinney talking with Senator Daniel Biss about Illinois' healthcare right of conscience law. We will now hear from attorney Noel Starrett. He represents crisis pregnancy centers and doctors who are challenging the law.
The purposes of these suits are to challenge the amendment to the Illinois Healthcare Right of Conscience Act. Last year, the Democratic Party, without any Republican support, put forward amendment, Senate Bill 1564, to the Act, which requires crisis pregnancy centers and pro-life medical professionals to become essentially a referral source to local abortion clinics. Meaning, even though you're maybe pro-life, and even though the whole reason why you exist is to help women in their pregnancies and tell them about the pro-life alternatives, you nevertheless have to speak of the benefits, quote-unquote benefits of abortion, and provide information to help women find abortionists to do the procedure. And so this is an infringement of their constitutional rights, both their free exercise of religion, because many of these crisis pregnancy centers, the doctors and nurses believe that this is the killing of a child, and as a result, they cannot participate in this. And so they don't want to do this from that vantage point, but it's also a restriction on their freedom of speech. Essentially what the General Assembly had said, at least half of the General Assembly said, was that you have to carry forward the government message, which is that there's benefits to abortion, and you must provide the list of local abortion providers to a woman who may come to your clinic. The result is basically taking these pro-life organizations and putting words in their mouths and forcing them to participate in something that they can't bring themselves to participate in.
How might women who don't have access to online information or information, maybe they're disabled or low income?
Sure.
What would you say to that?
Well, the adequacy of information out there, for those that don't have phones, there are telephone books, there are ample ways. There are groups that are not the crisis pregnancy centers, that are not the pro-life doctors, that provide this information. The state could provide the information. The local municipalities could provide the information. There are many people that don't have the same religious, conscientious, scientific, medical objections to abortion that are there for as resources for these women. Most people do have cell phones, and most people do have access to a library. Most people have the ability to access the information that the state is now requiring of these pro-life groups.
The Catholic Conference was able to at least come to a place where they didn't oppose it, and it is obviously opposed to abortion.
Sure.
Why are the crisis centers different from the Catholic Conference?
Yeah, I don't know. The Catholic Conference is not my client. I don't know what their... I could assume that that's their position, but perhaps they don't see it as much of a threat. But all I know is the very reason why these pregnancy centers exist is to make... to serve women and to help them understand the life that they carry. And it would be anathema to their very existence to become a referral source for abortion clinics. And there's no need for it. And in fact, one of the interesting parts of the law is it does not require, so if there are non-religious or other reasons why you object to providing for an abortion, so you just can't afford it, or there's another reason, this amendment doesn't trigger in that situation. So really what this law was a targeted effort to reach these pregnancy centers, these pro-life medical providers with this provision because of the very fact that they have this opposition to abortion. And I think the law before the amendments was exactly the way it should be in a state, recognizing that people may differ significantly on such a divisive issue like abortion, but nevertheless, we can recognize the differences and allow each other to live according to our consciences.
You can read Maureen McKinney's Illinois Issues In-Depth Report, which focuses on culture wars playing out in Illinois courts, at our website, nprillinois.org.